everyone, and welcome to the Creative Entrepreneur Show. This morning, there's a new person in the driver's seat. That's me. I'm your host, Brian Scott. And today's passenger, my co-host, is Rosh Sillers of Rosh Media. Rosh, what are you chatting about today?
Hey, thanks, Brian. This week, I'm going to give you my best creative business development advice. How to grow your creative as a creative entrepreneur. What's the best advice I could give a fellow creative entrepreneur? And then the next thing, I have a video that is doing much, much better than most. I'll explain more later. But the question is, now what? I have this video doing well. What do I do next? And then I have, of course, a question for you. And lately, I have been finding little, you know, maybe tools or things that are happening on the net that I've been sharing at the end of the show. And I have, once again, another one that I thought I would share.
Great. Awesome. Well, this morning, you didn't see this coming, but I am going straight 90s hip hop with all my quotes.
Oh, nice.
The great philosopher DMX once said, X is going to give it to you. And we finally have X. And are they giving it to us or are they taking it away? So we're going to talk about X, and hopefully we're going to answer that famous question DMX once posed in the 90s. And then we're going to go even further back with some LL Cool J, and we're going to talk about Facebook regaining its number one status as a social media. So don't call it a comeback. They've been here for years.
Nice.
Naturally, I got a question for you too, but let's start it out on your end. I'm very curious to know what you've got going on.
Sure. Best creative business development advice. I have grown a number of companies, and one of the best ways in which I grew those companies was by partnering with other companies. That should come no surprise to you. And really, a lot of times we think, how can we go find that customer? How do we find that customer? But sometimes the best way to go about it is to think about who already has the customers. And from there, develop relationships with those people or become a part of their team. Sometimes it's kind of behind the scenes. And when I say part of the team, white labeling, meaning that you are part of their package and you approach the clients as part of their team. Whatever it is that you offer, it could be design, it could be coding, it could be musical elements. I mean, there are all sorts of things you can offer as a creative entrepreneur, consulting, whatever your specialty and knowledge is of consulting, you can combine it with other people's businesses and they can offer it and they can make a little bit of extra money too. And so I have found that that has been the fastest way to grow, especially if you're starting off in the very, you start off with nothing. You just put the shingle on the door. Now what? Networking is big, of course, and that's a form of networking. And through that networking, you can develop those relationships. So that was my best bit of advice. I thought of that as the topic this week because I'm doing exactly that. I'm reaching out to a few people to take my business to the next level. I said, well, what was the thing that's always worked best? And so I'm looking for people. A friend of mine is moving off out on their own. Say, well, you know, they have connections in the world that I'm going after. Let's have lunch. And so that's exactly what I'm doing. And so there are a couple of people I'm doing that with over the coming weeks. And I thought I would share that with you because, you know, don't want to keep it to myself. If you want to grow your business, this is probably the number one way outside of some of the internet techniques that we share.
Cool. Yeah. I mean, you are, forming alliances. And I love that you mentioned that because actually I've been working really closely with a good friend of mine who does drone piloting. He's, a small business and getting a lot bigger. And I sell jobs under the hat of Great Scott Social Media, but I hire him out and we work together and produce it. And that's it, we're kind of white labeling it. And he's producing Great Scott content, even though he's not an official employee of Great Scott Social Media. So, I love that. That's it's a very smart way to. And I met him through my business networking group. So, Rosh, I know we've met through that before too. And it's one of the best ways to find those strategic alliances to help you grow. So that's a great advice.
Excellent. What do you got?
All right, cool. Well, let's talk about, let's talk about X. Let's talk about Elon. Let's talk about Twitter. And really, there's been a lot of there's a lot of change, a lot of turmoil, and we're all kind of waiting for the dust to settle a little bit here as to is it going to be effective or not. Now, politics aside, personally, I'm a fan of Elon just based on his innovation and his forward thinking and just what he's, you know, done with from everything from PayPal to SpaceX and Tesla and everything. But I don't really know if I'm a fan of what he's doing so far with Twitter. I see, or X, I should start calling it by its new name, right?
Yes.
What I've seen is, and this is really what I wanted to talk about today, are just some of the changes and everything he's doing to try to push this to be a subscription-based service. Right. He wants people to pay monthly, but with that, he wants to give you a lot more. So, you know, also when you give a lot more, it means that you're taking away. So what is X given to us and what is it taken away? Really, to be, you really need to be a verified account to really take advantage of the advantage, you know, the new changes in X. So some of those things are now creators can be a part of the payment. So when they hit a certain number of views, if you're a verified account, then you can actually be a part of that revenue share. So that is one of the things that, you know, we pushed to make sure. A lot of things, there's actually a quantity as to how much X you can consume based on your level. So Say if you're a verified user, you can, you know, see up to 10,000 posts a day. If you're an unverified user, but you've been around for a little while, you could see 1,000 posts a day. And if you created a new account and you're unverified, you can only see 500 posts a day. And now, You know, 500 feels like a big number, but sometimes if you're just sitting there scrolling on your phone, consuming content,
500 can go by pretty quick.
You can, yeah. So I thought that was really interesting. He's limiting the size of the upload based on your verification. You can view your tweet deck, which is pretty much, you know, your past, you know, what you've put up, and be able to kind of see your dashboard based on your verification level. And he's kind of unharnessed the length of a tweet that you can give if you've paid enough. So pretty much, he's teaching the world that this is, you know, it's a capitalist society. You pay to play, you win, and you can get your message out there more. So just some different things, you know, some things to think about as to how he's taking this, you know, previously successful platform and trying to make it more professional or more successful by making it subscription based. And I think it's made a lot of people mad. I think it's given voice to some people that are looking for a little more free speech on the political end. So you could take that as you will. And that's definitely what I've noticed in my, you know, usage of it. You know, I've told you before, Rosh, we don't really represent too many of our clients on Twitter because it's more for the public figures and not just really our client base. So, you know, I'm not living too much in the ad side of it, but definitely from a, you know, 10,000 feet view, when I experience Twitter or X in the last, you know, month or two, it's definitely changed. I don't know if it's for the better or for the worse. You know, throw it back to you, Rosh. I know you're using that world. What have you?
Yeah, about? No, I've been on Twitter since near the beginning days. And early on, I called it the People's AP Wire. And it's slowly not becoming that. It's becoming a different platform altogether because he wants it more of a, you know, he wants to make it something you can use it as a payment system. I mean, there's so many, he wants it to be that all in one app. Yeah. Twitter was one very specific thing. It did it well. There's something big going on the opposite side of the world. You knew within seconds, well before anything. And it was the simplicity of it. And what he is turning into is something that's complicated and more complicated than some of the other platforms are right now. So he's basically trying to take the simplest, straightforward social media and turn it into the most complicated, as you put it, entrepreneur or a capitalistic platform, which has not worked in the past. Now, it does in some parts of the world and has, and there are some apps. Is WhatsApp, or maybe I'm thinking of another app that is works in other part in the world, which is a payment system, which is kind of the all-in-one.
Yeah.
Are we ready for that? I don't know. But it will not be Twitter anymore. It will be something else. And so those of us who have been on, you know, the one thing that's constant in this world is change, and that's fine. And we know things will change. However, it's not going to be the same platform. And you know, he alienated a lot of people. I was verified when verified meant something. And now having, having that, taking away something that, you know, a lot of people felt they earned on your platform and taking it away and say, well, if you want it, you can pay $8 a month. Well, there has been some success to that, because I'm paying for 2 Twitter accounts to have that check back for specific reasons, for specific needs, being able to schedule posts and so forth. So there are things that I needed it for. And so, yes, so there's some smart elements to it, but ultimately, just to wrap it up, it will not be Twitter. It really will be X.
Exactly. Yeah. It's a full on rebranding. He's even, you know, starting to introduce jobs or, you know, pretty soon. So you can post jobs. And so it's stepping on LinkedIn's toes a little bit. It's trying to be a little bit of everything when, like you said, it was really good at being one thing. And now that one thing is kind of dead, or now it's Threads or wherever it's going to push people to. And did you know that for a while, and I don't know if this is still happening, but as certainly as Threads was new, that X disallowed any link over to Threads?
No, I didn't know that, but I do know that obviously Facebook and say YouTube have a rivalry. Yeah. So, it's common for those rivalries to develop and that they'll devalue links. I didn't know it was banned, but, you know, that's
killed the link completely.
Yeah.
Almost for free speech, right? So, all right. Throw it back to you for your second topic, my friend.
Sure. So I have I just checked a YouTube video for one of my projects. So it's a small YouTube channel. It's just under 1,000. Let's say it's about 650 subscribers. It's relatively new and small, and it's a project that I've been working with. And so when I upload a video, if I get about 50 views in the first day, 24 hours, I'm usually pretty happy. Eventually the usually taps out or kind of levels off in the 100 to 200 range.
Okay.
Well, this new video has about 300 in the first less than 24 hours. So that's telling me YouTube is kicking it off. It has a high click-through rate and a decent retention rate. So the question is, what do you do now? What is the next thing to do? Well, this can apply to really any social media. Really, the next thing you want to do is double down on that. So a lot of times, one, I'm going to let it run. In this situation for YouTube, I'm going to let it run maybe a little bit longer. And rather than put something else up immediately, I'll let it continue. So attention is not taken away from success.
Okay.
And then two, when it's starting to level off, which it will, because YouTube is going to continue to test new audiences. And that's what it's doing, is testing new audience, and it's passing the test. So then it takes it to the next level. But you can see gradually this click-through rate come down. And there'll be a point in which the click-through rate comes down, meaning we've maxed out the number of people that really care. And in the combination of retention, if people are clicking but not watching, that, so it's that combination. So the next step will be to create a piece of content, a YouTube video, that is directly related to the one that was just shown. Because YouTube will show to the most people who watch most recent videos. And the most recent videos are the recent one that was just blowing up, in a sense, for us. So the point being is that I don't want to talk about something else. I don't want to derail the success. I want to follow up success with success in a very similar topic. That is my next step. And I think that's true with social media in general. I'm curious to your experience, say, on other platforms, how you might address it. Let's say Instagram does the same thing. You have something that's really going well on Instagram. Do you stick with the exact same topic as a rule, or do you just stick with the plan and post something else?
Well, yeah, momentum is very much a thing on social media, all the platforms. You know, when something is doing well, you want to keep that momentum going, and you've got a little window in the algorithm where they're going to help you keep that momentum going. So we will oftentimes plan those momentum waves to, you know, with certain types of content. So we will, like, say, for example, on Facebook or Instagram, we will often design a post that's meant purely for engagement. One that's, you know, going to do well, going to get people to comment, like, share, all those good things. And then we will do a related topic right after it that's an ad, where there is a call to action, but it's about that same topic. Mm-hmm. So you're, you know, kind of asking for a little bit back now that you've gained that trust. But yeah, sometimes we will, you know, say, hey, take a stop of our normal, you know, planned schedule and say, hey, this one's doing really well. What can we do now to keep that ball rolling? And yeah, we will create some content, you know, that's talking that same thing because we know that people are interested in that. So yeah, we definitely subscribe to the theory of, you know, momentum and keep feeding them what they want. And, you know, the algorithms will keep rewarding us if we're doing it the right way.
Yeah. And you make a good point. See, the algorithm is what is driving this. You know, we talk about YouTube as a great big search engine, but that's not what's driving it. Not one is coming from search. It is all through browse features, which means YouTube is putting this in front of new audiences on their homepage. And they'll find it because, again, YouTube does not, it's not trying to push my video out. It's trying to supply viewers with what they like. And eventually they'll run out of those type of viewers and that's going to level off.
And now my question to you is, did you put this as just a traditional post? So like a horizontal video, if you will, that's you know, a normal one. Okay. So what my advice definitely would be is now that it's getting delivered to new people would be to take little highlight clips of it, really, you know, the best little nuggets out of it and make some quick shorts. And because Shorts is programmed in the algorithm, just like Reels on Facebook and Instagram, to continue to reach new audiences.
Right.
So now that you've got a little bit of fire, that's where you could throw some gas on it to get that out. And then tell people, do you, if you like what I'm talking about, like and subscribe, and then they're going to be immediately delivered your full form video.
Yeah. Yeah. And I got to tell you, you're probably more right than I'm scared about that, because I fear, because of being on the same platform, putting something else that is going to be shown to people who just watched my videos and they're just seeing the same thing again. You're right. And it is. And YouTube has done a much better job of separating shorts, the shelf from the video. So it used to be that they were pretty connected. So you're absolutely right. That is great advice. I'm still too scared from past experience to do that. So for me, if from a professional on your point and you giving that advice, someone should probably take that advice. Again, it's just my fear. I'm going to wait and I'm going to do another full video. Perfect. So, and so that's just, again, that's just me. But again, you know, sometimes when you've, you know, been burned by old things, it's hard to say, oh, they fixed that, eh? So
they've all been competing with each other in terms of, and I mean they, you know, TikTok and YouTube with these short form videos to really use those as your new frontier when you want to get in front of new people. So that's where they've, you know, all kind of tuned their algorithm. So, but
You talked about that in a previous podcast. And so if anyone's really interested on how to go about that, is it the last one or the one before?
A couple podcasts ago.
Two podcasts ago. Check that out because Brian had some really good advice about how to approach those posts and which ones are doing what. That was great information. Go ahead. What do you got next?
All right. Yeah. So yeah, don't call it a comeback. We've been here for years. So yeah, social media, Facebook is the king, was kicked off for a little bit of being the king late last year. TikTok had a huge, huge surge. I think maybe a little TikTok fatigue is setting in, not to mention we've got, you know, complete states that are starting to think about banning it. You know, there's a lot on the other side of the conversation that's happening to TikTok. Not to mention, I think Meta was pretty successful with their Reels in terms of getting people to that are looking for that type of content and that type of engagement, that they're finding it still on your Instagram or on your Facebook. You know, everyone that, you know, I've met with, not everyone, but most clients, when I talk to them, you know, I still start your social media world, your foundation on Facebook. And they're like, oh, isn't Facebook dying yet? You know, my kids don't use it anymore. And it's like, maybe, you know, maybe the 25 and unders aren't really using it as much, but we're actually seeing a lot of 25s to 35 finally signing up for it because they're realizing that it's more ingrained in their life than they thought. And, you know, they are connecting with their parents, their grandparents, their family that way. So there is that younger audience that's happening. So that's been a definitely a resurgence in Facebook.
Can I throw something in a parallel? It's kind of like, say, 10 years ago, they're saying email's dead. Email's dead. You know, all the young people don't use email. However, once they got into the business world,
right,
they had to start using email again. And they do email, and you can email your 25 to 30 plus year old. No problem. Maybe it'll be a little trouble under 20. But the same thing, I think, with Facebook. Facebook is friends, family, and where we congregate. We're not always there. Not always there, but we will be there if we want to connect with family and friends and see what's going on.
Yeah. And a lot of people who left it, you know, back in 2016 when things got really ugly politically, lot of people that, you know, they've made their way back because they'll get together with friends and family at a family reunion and say, hey, didn't you see I posted that I went to Arizona? They're like, oh, no, I'm not. And then they'll feel that tug and get them back.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's happening a lot. And I think we need to not discredit Facebook and Instagram, you know, as still a viable way of businesses getting in front of the decision makers. So when you talk about your decision makers, most businesses I deal with, you know, you're talking that 25 to kind of 65, 70 year old world. And the majority of them are very much still on Facebook. So, and, you know, cost per click wise, you know, efficiency of setting it up, it is still by far and away one of the best ways to get your messaging out. You know, most clients, if we just spend $150 a month on boosting, we're typically reaching anywhere from 10 to 15,000 people consistently. And we're normally getting anywhere from 250 to 450 clicks to their website. And, you know, once we get them to the website, that's on the actual company to, you know, to gather their attention enough to follow through. But at the very least, we're getting them out there. And, you know, it's not going away anytime soon. You know, TikTok's actually moved down to number 5. Facebook's
really?
Number 1. YouTube is 2. WhatsApp is 3. You mentioned that earlier.
Yeah.
And yes, its international purposes are huge. You can make calls to people on WhatsApp anywhere in the world. There's a lot of benefits to it in the international.
And that's Facebook.
Right. Yeah, Facebook owned. So that's another way that Meta has, you know, expanded its reach, and they did a great job with it. And they're sitting number 3. Instagram's number 4. So, I mean, you look at the top 5, finally WeChat is 5, and now TikTok is 6.
Oh, wow.
So out of the top 5. So WeChat is
another one of the international ones. So,
it's another Chinese company. So we'll see how it does in terms of its security. You know, Facebook's as strong as ever, if not the strongest it's ever been right now.
It's a good one. Four out of the top 5 are Facebook.
Meta.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Wow. But I was still almost 40% of the world's population are Facebook users. Think about that.
Yeah. Right.
And think about what, you know, in that bubble, how many people don't even have internet access? That's got to be 30 to 40%, you know. So,
you know, it's important for people to understand. Just because whatever your opinion is of Facebook, and I've said this for a long time, that for people that have said over and over again, I don't like Facebook, doesn't matter what you think, where are your customers?
Yes,
and exactly. And that's where you need to go. And it's the same with Instagram. If you don't like Instagram, if you don't like X, if you don't, you know, whatever it is you don't like, it doesn't matter. I mean, if you're customers are not there, then that's fine.
Right.
But if they're there, don't let your own bias prevent your company from growing.
That's exactly it. And unfortunately, you know, with the just political atmosphere of the last decade, a lot of people are looking for things to be mad about.
Yeah.
And you know, don't let that be to the detriment of your business. You know, you got to be smarter than that when it comes to growing your business. So yeah, that's don't call it a comeback. It's been here for years and it's not going anywhere. So, all right, throw back to you. I think you're on your question.
Yeah, I have a question for you. So you were on vacation this week.
Mm.
Did you have an aha moment or something that, because, you know, sometimes when you just let go and sometimes one of the best things you can do if you really want to think of new ideas or grow your business is just to sit quietly with a pad of paper, nothing on. Just sit there, and your mind is a vacuum that will start to think of ideas. And you being on vacation had that opportunity. You said you put your phone away, put it on airplane mode. Did you have anything that just kind of popped up in your head that you thought would be valuable for your business and that when you got back, you might implement?
I did. Yeah, I had a cool takeaway when it came to, so we went to Hocking Hills, Ohio, which is one of the least strong cell phone service places in the world, which was good and bad. What it led to is, say, we're a family with 14 people under one roof, and we were trying to make plans of things to do and to go out. And we're a pretty tech-savvy family, and we're going out to an area that's, let's say, they're less than tech-savvy. And what I noticed time and time again is I would Google a company and I would click for their website. And, you know, these are little tours or little, you know, little mom and pop shops.
Right.
And so many times their website was just simply their Facebook page.
Oh.
And I thought, I was like, hey, this is good and this is bad.
Yeah.
You know, we can get a lot of information out and a lot of legitimacy for a company out by having a real website. But is just listing your Facebook page good enough? And in some situations, I think it is, because you're able to still get all your relevant information out. You can put your hours, you can put your address, you can send a message to the company, but as long as you're still using it, you didn't just set it up at one point and forget right. it. So if you're still diligent and you're posting things at least 2 to 3 times a week, you're replying to messages and comments, you can use that as your website and save a few bucks as you're a small company, but you can't ignore it.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. I mean, I think that's true with any social media that you might have. In general, if you're going to have it, have it. If you're not, don't. You know, but there are a number of ways to approach that. But I would say, though, you don't own Facebook. You don't own Meta. And, right. you know, those changes can happen in a way that can not be in your favor. I mean, as I said earlier, you know, the only constants change. So I think it's still important that you have something that you own as your foundational. You know, maybe you can direct people to your Facebook page and make it very important part that, you know, the top thing, hey, get the latest information, click here and go to Facebook. But yeah. I don't know if I would depend on Facebook being your only place or your main foundation. Again, it should be a support, because again, you don't own it. You don't control what happens versus your website.
Yeah, there's no replacement for having an actual website and having your little stake in Google. You know, this is where you are. So that's very important. But, you know, we're talking people who just might not even know that it's this easy to make a website, or, you know, it's a lot easier to set up a Facebook page and go with it. So if that has to be your only option, do it right. Otherwise, you know, look up Wix.com or something to make it a simple website. You know, you don't have to necessarily hire an expert or anything. And it's almost as easy as setting up a Facebook page. But sure. I saw that a lot, and that got my gears turning a little bit. So
That's interesting. Yeah. I have seen it before, but not. Sounds like it was much more common in the smaller communities. Very interesting. All right, what do you have next?
All right, I got for you our final topic here. And this is just a little bit about the background of you, Rosh, because, you know, when I met you, I thought, wow, this is a pretty impressive dude. You got a lot of stuff, a lot of history of, you know, you've been a well-known photographer. You've been in the world of Google. You've photographed presidents. And I want to know what got you into starting to share your knowledge in using media. So a little bit of just your background and maybe even, you know, name drop your dad a little bit in this.
And, well, no one would know who my dad is unless you're local. But, you know, anyway, you know, I kind of touched on this before, and I know I have probably in every single episode, you know, mentioned, you know, how long I've been on social media and how long, blah, 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 you know, okay, fine, get the picture, Rosh. But I have been a teacher since I was very small. And I learned something. I always wanted to find a student somewhere. Okay. And my family was always in the media. We had journalists, and my dad was a weatherman, and I was a newspaper magazine photographer, and now I'm more commercial these days. But I still wanted to teach. And so being an internet geek also in that combination, I was early in the game with SEO. And then when social media started taking off, I was there. And so I started sharing that with photographers. And then again, eventually that went mainstream. So when media comes out, I love media. I love teaching and sharing. And so there you go. That it's just perfect. The combination that's been my life and will always continue to be in some way, shape, or form. That video that I just talked about on YouTube, you know, I have a kind of a conflict because it's an area I have to spend a lot of time in, but I don't want to be part of my main social media. It's in the financial sector. I develop some things. I develop some algorithms, and I want nothing, really don't want it to intermix so much with my traditional. I don't mind social media marketing because that's been a part of, you know, entrepreneurship, photography. I don't mind that as part of my core teaching on my main, you know, Rosh Sillers, Twitter, X in social media, but this is very separate. So, and let me throw this another point with dealing with social media and even YouTube here, because YouTube is an area of expertise that I work in. I wouldn't want to tell our audience what it is. I mean, not that they couldn't find it, but if I talked about this YouTube video that's doing well and I say, hey, go check it out, it's the wrong thing for me to do because now I have a bunch of people who are interested in business entrepreneurship, maybe social media, going to this YouTube video. And the next video that I put out there, they're most likely going to be shown and they won't care about the next video. And so that will be a signal that all these people saw this video and don't care. And so then YouTube is not going to show it to more people who do. And so that's something to take away as part of that process. So if you have something that's going big and it's very niche, don't share it. Be very, very protective of your social. I thought I'd go down that rant.
That's great. So, great. Well, I know that, you know, ever since I've started chatting with you, you're definitely a natural teacher. I've learned a ton from you and you communicate things very clearly. So, I'm excited for us to keep, you know, this platform going to get the information out to as many people as possible.
Yeah. Thanks, Brian. Hey, can I share my one thing, the little tech thing, something new in Google, you can now do grammar check in Google. All you have to do is type in Google. I have not done it. I've only read it. So if, you know, I'm going to be doing it after this show because I just was going through it and noticed this update this morning. You type whatever you want into Google and then put grammar check afterwards.
Okay.
And Google will now check your grammar. Amazing. So if you want to do
little keywords, little things we're telling Google to kind of trigger its AI portion of it.
Yes.
Sounds like it's doing. So yeah,
it's starting to build into. Now I'm using the labs, the Google Labs, all the time. I've talked about that in the last show. So if you're interested in that, check out the last show. It's becoming more and more a part that I expect the AI to pop up with certain information and then maybe show a couple websites and links. And I heard, and I couldn't find this, maybe you can confirm it, or if you've heard, that Threads is going to do the same thing, going to do some kind of search or something related to it.
They're involving those same technologies. They're pretty much following along with that. Yeah. So, and Facebook as well, they're starting to, even especially on the ad side of it, they've installed a lot more AI helpers in the back end. So instead of like always getting just a call with a Facebook ads expert, you're getting, you know, AI instructions as to how to optimize things. So that's pretty cool.
Interesting. Very good. Yeah. Well, I think that's everything. Do you have anything else, Brian?
Not today, my friend.
All right. Well, it's been a great show. Welcome to all of our new listeners, because we have new listeners. I mean, I'm excited to see the exponential growth that's happening as we keep releasing new shows. It's kind of like a new show. This would be what, our fourth episode, although it's a fourth. Yep. So we're, as far as the new phase of this, this podcast, I think it's doing very well. And so I appreciate everyone that's listening. If you have not gone over to creativeentrepreneurshow.com, please do so. It's up, it's running. And if you have a question for us, we are really looking forward to answering some of, or even topics. Just put in a topic. If you don't have a direct, hey, can you address this area? Just feel free, make it one of our topics for the show. And we really, really want to engage with you folks who are listening. So,
yeah, especially those who are still listening this far into this podcast right now. Thank you.
I wonder if there is somebody who started listening back in 2008 and is hearing this show. If you if you have done that, if you were listening in 2008, 9, 10, somewhere around when it was New Media Photographer, because it's the same RSS feed, mm-hmm. check it out. Go over to the and let us know. We want to shout you out because I think that's pretty cool. If that's the case, I'm going to put that at about zero. That's the case, but you never know. So, right. Sounds very good. Well, thanks, Brian. It's been great chatting with you until next week. Hey, you have a guest next week. Do you, or is that yeah. official yet? Or do you want to say something?
I'd say it's 80% official, but okay. yeah, my drone guy, Andres, very talented, creative entrepreneur. I'm going to talk about his process and how he launched, pun intended, his drone business.
Excellent. I'm looking forward to hearing that. All right, everyone, we'll talk to you next time on the Creative Entrepreneur Show.